This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on February 17th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2011-02, a request from Senator Scott Brown and Scott Brown for United States Senate Committee. We will have a presentation from Ms. Selenkoff of the General Office of General Counsel.
Thank you, Chair Bowerly. Good morning, Commissioners. The Commission has before it three alternative draft advisory opinions in response to a request by Senator Scott Brown and his principal campaign committee, the Scott Brown for U.S. Senate Committee. The requesters ask a series of questions relating to the upcoming publication and promotion of Senator Brown's autobiography. Drafts A and B differ in a number of respects, most notably in whether the committee proposes to post a de minimis amount of material promoting the book on its website and social media sites, whether the committee must reimburse the publisher for a portion of the travel costs in cities where Senator Brown hosts fundraising events in addition to promoting the book, and whether the committee may collect email addresses of people who attend Senator Brown's book promotion events. Draft C recognizes areas of agreement between drafts A and B, including that the committee may post a de minimis amount of material promoting the book on its website and social media sites. Senator Brown's royalty proceeds from bulk sales of the book to the committee may be donated to charity by the publisher. Senator Brown may reimburse the committee for the fair market value of the rental of its mailing and email lists. The Commission received no comments on the draft. Should the Commission approve a draft, the Office of General Counsel requests the authority to make technical and conforming changes, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Selenkoff. And I understand Mr. Winslow is also with us. If the Commission has questions, we'll ask you to join us at the table. Thank you for joining us. Are there any questions for counsel or discussion on the drafts? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think draft A is the correct answer here, but my understanding is there may not be enough folks who think draft A is the correct answer. But I think it's important for the requester to have a sense of where the agreement is and where the disagreement is. For whatever reason, books and movies tend to get people excited here. In this case, I guess the excitement is well-founded because it is an incumbent member of the U.S. Senate, so it's not like it's an independent book, I suppose. But there's a lot of precedent at the Commission regarding the ability of politicians to write books. And when you write a book, part of writing a book is promoting the book, and it's something that goes hand in glove, and that's really where the action is here, I suppose. One of the questions raised where I think there's not going to be agreement is on travel. Senator is going to go and travel around and promote the book, and the question, as I understand it, is what if he has some sort of fundraising activity along the way that's, in my view, incidental. I think that's fine. I think it's well established that that's permissible. And this is not a recent rule. This is an old rule. There was a enforcement matter years and years ago regarding a professional basketball player who ran for Congress, and he traveled with the team, and when he was in certain cities he would have campaign events on the side, and there was a complaint filed in the FEC. Parts of it unanimously were no reason to believe, and it was 5-1 on the ultimate question of no reason to believe. So at least since then, and that was probably in the late 80s, it's been okay for this to happen. To retreat from that, I think, is a change, and that's potentially a problem. He also asks about use of the website. That we can, you know, I think we're going to compromise on that. Whether 25% is too much, whether that's de minimis or not, I think that's a judgment call that everyone can live with down the road, as long as it's clear that he can put something on there. But I guess what I'd like to do is move draft A and see how that goes. And then my guess is that's not going to go too far, but at least Brown will know where folks are and then hopefully discuss alternatives after that.
Is that a motion you'd like to vote on right now, or shall we continue discussion?
It's up to you. It's a motion.
It is a motion. Okay. There's a motion. If there's a motion pending, is there any discussion on the motion to approve draft A? All those in favor of approving draft A, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
No. Motion fails. Commissioner Peterson, Commissioner McGann, and the Vice Chair voting in favor. Commissioner Walther, Commissioner Weintraub, and myself voting against. Further discussion or motions? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support draft B. I think this is not, I actually was surprised that in some respects this is a question of first impression here, because certainly members have been writing books for many years. And in my former lifetimes, in two former lifetimes, in fact, both at the Ethics Committee and in private practice, I have reviewed many book contracts for members. I think what we're starting to see now, and this isn't the first instance of it, but it's the first time it's posed in quite this way, is whereas in the past, you know, you basically had two different approaches to book writing. There were the books that members wrote while they were in office, and those tended to be sort of policy tomes, and they would, you know, were thrilled to see their face on a book in a bookstore and to get the publicity for that, but they weren't really in it for the money. They weren't writing it for the royalties. They were writing it to advance their political agenda, their political career. And in the book contracts that I reviewed, and I think this, you know, there were a lot of book contracts like that, and the commission has dealt with a number of them over the years, they would often give the royalties to charity. So it didn't raise any issue under the personal use regulations of when travel or other issues came up. Now we are starting to see members who want to keep the royalties, you know, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Then, of course, there were always the members who would write the memoirs as they were leaving office, and those they were trying to negotiate the big contracts for and get lots and lots of money. But now we're seeing members in office who want to write books and collect the royalties. And that that does present a slightly different twist on the scenario of the member traveling around to promote the book, because he's going to be making a profit off of the book. And at the same time, while he's traveling, you know, everybody's multitasking, and members certainly have busy lives. He wants to do fundraising. And that raises a problem, because on the one hand, we have rules that say you cannot personally benefit from the expenditure, the candidate or office holder can't personally benefit from the expenditure of their campaign funds. And if they're using campaign funds to travel around and promote a book from which they're getting royalties, well, that could pose a personal use issue. On the other hand, if there's a corporate publisher that is sending them around the country on their book tour, and at the same time, they're going to be holding fundraisers, and you know, there's going to be a lot of publicity around their name and around the book tour, and then they, you know, obviously there's travel expenses, and they get to, and then they're going to hold a fundraiser while they're in the same city. There's the potential for a corporate subsidy of the campaign, because the corporate publisher is paying for the travel expenses, and there's fundraising going on. And we have a reg on the books that says anytime you do campaign work at a particular stop, the campaign should pay for it. But, you know, for that to happen in this case would raise personal use issues. So I think it is a complicated and difficult question, and doesn't really have an obvious answer. And I think that's part of why the senator has asked us the question, because there isn't an obvious answer under the regs. And I think the reason what draft B tries to do is you know, figure out what benefit each side is getting and have them pay a proportionate amount of the travel costs. I think this draft addresses it from the standpoint of time spent promoting the book versus time spent on fundraisers. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that at the end of, you know, the week-long tour during the Senate recess, I think it's entirely possible that at the end of the week, the senator will have generated more funds for his campaign account if he does fundraisers at every stop than he will have generated royalty payments to himself on selling books, because obviously he doesn't make that much money on each book. And people can, they don't have to, but they can write rather large checks at fundraisers. So I think it's a difficult issue. I don't think it's well settled. I'm interested to hear for the first time here at the table that this has been well settled in a MIR from the 80s. I would have liked to have heard about that as we were trading drafts back and forth over the last week, if we were going to be relying on a MIR from the 80s. That I'm not a sports fan, so I don't even know who the basketball star was. I'm also, gratified to hear that my colleague thinks that MIRs establish points of law and are precedent that people can rely on, because that doesn't always seem to be the case either. I think it is an unsettled question. I think Draft B tries to come up with a fair result that will, I suppose if we wanted to be real hardliners about this, and I don't think anybody is suggesting this, we could say, well, because of this potential for cross-subsidization, you can't do both things on the same trip. You have to choose. You can either do fundraising and pay for it with campaign funds, or you can do the book tour and pay for that, have the publisher pay for that. But I don't think anybody is suggesting that. But we're just trying to figure out what is the appropriate way to have each side pay an appropriate amount. The other point that I wanted to raise is on the de minimis. While I agree that 25% is more than de minimis, I took the position in the Hayworth AO. Is it Hayworth or Hayward? Hayworth. A few years ago, and I believe I'm the only commissioner currently sitting at the table who was at the table that day. There should be no de minimis exception for promoting a book from which the member was going to be earning money on his campaign website. Can't do that on your Senate website, I'm pretty sure, and I don't think you ought to be able to do that on your campaign website either. So consistent with the position that I took back then, which admittedly was the losing position, I can support Draft B because it answers that question in no, but I can't support, should Draft B go down, as I suspect it will, I can't support Draft C because it answers that question yes, as long as it's de minimis. That would be inconsistent with the position that I've previously taken. Not to foreclose anybody else from speaking, but I'm happy to move adoption of Draft B now or at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Commissioner, from my perspective, I support Draft B, but I will also support Draft C. With respect to the issue about the websites and the social media sites, I wasn't here for Hayworth. From my perspective, it's an AO on our books, and to the extent that the committee and Senator Fall, the activity would fall under it, I think it's an appropriate path for them to follow. And obviously, while I'm not sure if Twitter existed at the time that AO was adopted, probably not, it seems like the same principles from my perspective apply. But where I do agree with Draft B on this issue is that 25% to me doesn't seem to be de minimis. It's something much, if you read Hayworth closely and what they were actually proposing in that AO was something much, much smaller than 25%. It literally was a sentence or two about the book, and I think that is would be entirely consistent with Hayworth. With respect to the travel, I do think this is a tricky area because there are two competing interests with respect to the idea of subsidization from the corporation, and then flip side is the corporate use piece. And I think that the approach in Draft B is to try to make it as fair to both sides of that pot as possible, hopefully it's not overly complicated. I think it is sort of simple math of saying, where is the time being spent? So I'll support the motion to approve Draft B, but at the appropriate time, I will also support Draft C. Is there further discussion on the motion to approve Draft B? If there's not, all those in favor of adopting Draft B, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion fails 3-3. Are there any, is there any further discussion or another motion? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. A didn't work, B didn't work, maybe C will work. C is, I guess for lack of a better word, compromise draft, where I think we'll capture areas where there may be some agreement. I think it may help to note where those areas are, so because with all the drafts it may get confusing for some folks who are listening. First question asks about using campaign funds to purchase copies of the book at fair market price, and then once purchased, what does Brown do with the royalties? Going to give it to charity? And I think there's agreement on the answer is yes. The wrinkle is, I think Brown's preference is to receive the royalties himself and then give it to charity. To get the protection of an AO, I think you have to let the publisher give the money to charity. I agree with Brown that he could take the royalties and give it to charity. I think that may be more efficient, and there may be other policy reasons that support it that really we don't have to reach. But the commission has in the past signed off on publishers paying royalties to charity directly, so this is not particularly innovative. To say he has to do it that way, but that's the explanation as to why we're not necessarily green-lighting for purposes of an AO Brown paying it directly. To get an AO, you have to do it the way the AO says, I suppose. Doesn't mean it's the only way you can do it, but you don't have the protection of the AO. And then the website issue, I guess the concern I still have is from the perspective of Brown trying to figure out what's okay. I thought 25% was okay because I come at it from the point of view that the cost of the website is putting it up and all that initial coding. And once that's paid for, adding some content, whether it's two sentences or 20 sentences or 2% or 20%, to me, doesn't affect the bottom line of cost. Reasonable people can disagree on that, so we have to come to something that we can all agree with. There's a past AO that approves some content of this sort on a campaign website. I guess from Brown's perspective, there still remains a question as how much is too much. To me, his request was fine as is, but again, to get the protection of an AO, it takes four, so it's really going to be up to the fourth or fifth or sixth on it to articulate how much is too much. It could be the existing AO is actually the ceiling, but Brown could be left a little confused on that. The third question, which we haven't talked about at all, is the list, and this is something that has come up in enforcement cases. And this is something that's divided the commission over the years, and it came up primarily in MERS, where people did prospecting deals, and by that I mean you sign letters and get the names on the list for money raised. It's sort of it's not really a list exchange; it's more of a name exchange agreement. And this has been something that certain commissioners have felt strongly about on both sides of the aisle over the years. And to me, lists are different creatures. They're certainly assets of campaigns, but they're not like the chairs and desks that campaigns buy, nor are they like taking campaign contributions and sticking them in your pocket, which is prohibited because that would be obviously personal use or stealing, depending on whether you had permission, I guess. But lists are their own creature. And again, to get an AO, there's a way in C that you can do it. I think there's other ways you can do it. I think ultimately a candidate has an interest in a list that is developed by using his name. This is not something that we've had to really tackle directly too often here, but I think this is something that will develop. As Commissioner Weintraub notes, it's more and more folks who are incumbents are writing books, and the royalties are becoming more of an issue, and I think the list will also become an issue as time goes on. We don't necessarily have to answer every question today, because not every question is asked, and even if it were, we wouldn't be able to answer them. But I think that's something that folks need to think through when they make future requests about lists, is that there is some appetite, at least among some of us, to treat lists as its own category of campaign asset. The travel, I do come back to, and, you know, I cited a MER that's public, been public since the late 80s. I'm not sure that's out of bounds. It is to me the rule. It's an example of the existing rule. It's not necessarily where the rule comes from, but for years and years and years and years, that's been how people have operated on the travel issue. Certainly paying different legs of travel and whatnot. There's different ways to do it, and the regs do speak to some of those issues, but I don't see it as particularly innovative. I see that there's a peeling back from what was the norm here in the draft draft B rolled back the what I think is the rule. Certainly when the commission has a MER and they say something is permissible, that does become the rule. I don't think there's anything revolutionary about that. The more revolutionary concept is once there's an AO that says something is permissible, we can still continue to refight that battle without subsequent legislation or regulation changing the AO. Seems to me once the commission says something's permissible, that becomes the operative rule, and then, you know, any sort of old position goes away. If one can distinguish a new situation from that and limit the reach of the prior AO, that's certainly fine. That's what we do. But to merely maintain a position that is no longer the rule to me seems a little odd. But that's neither here nor there. So that's, I think, C, and I can support C, although I'm concerned, again, about how much is de minimis on the website, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, if it's not a lot, so be it. If Brown wants to push the envelope and test how much he can put on his website, it's his prerogative, but he doesn't get the protection of an advisory opinion. And it's not the sort of thing that seems to be worth testing. But for those reasons that I stated, I can support C as is, hopefully if there's not, I guess I can move adoption of C now, and if there's further discussion, so be it. Otherwise, I move adoption of draft C.
Commissioner McGann, would your motion also include authorizing OGC to make technical and conforming changes?
Sure.
Okay. I'll support the motion. I think with respect to part the answer to question two, I've stated earlier what my concern was with respect to this, and I think the draft attempts to provide as much context as available for this answer. So that's, I think the draft is what it says with respect to that, in terms of what Hayworth found to be, what amount of information was in Hayworth, and that was found to be de minimis. So I'll support the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? The question before the commission is approval of draft C, agenda document 11-09A, and to authorize OGC to make technical and conforming changes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-2. Commissioner Peterson, Commissioner McGann, the Vice Chair, myself voting in favor, Commissioner Walther and Commissioner Weintraub voting in opposition. Thank you, Ms. Ellenkopf.